Hello, I'm Moira Alderson with the BBC News. Iran has blamed Israel and the United States for the bomb attack at a memorial event for a top military commander in which nearly 100 people were killed. The Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi, warned Israel it would pay a price, but our security correspondent Frank Gardner says it's unlikely to have been carried out by Israel.
It is absolutely not in Israel's interest to have done this. The timing and the technique does not point to Israel. Why would Israel want to provoke Iran when it's got its hands full with Gaza and Lebanon? So there's quite a long list of suspects, from ISIS to Baluchi separatists to Arab separatists to people simply opposed to the government. This was not a drone strike, a missile strike, or a delayed timer. This was something that was remotely detonated by somebody there on the ground in Kerman.
A joint statement by a dozen countries, including the United States, has warned Houthi rebels in Yemen against carrying out further attacks on merchant ships in the Red Sea. It said there would be consequences if the Iranian-backed militants continued to threaten lives. James Landale has this report.
The US, the UK and 10 other countries, including Germany, Italy, Australia and Japan, issued a formal warning to the Houthis. They said if the group continued to attack shipping, it would bear the consequences. That is widely interpreted as a threat of military action against targets in Yemen, including where missiles are stored and launched. The Western allies called for an immediate end to the attacks, which they said posed a direct threat to freedom of navigation in the critical waterway.
Donald Trump has asked the US Supreme Court to overturn a decision by Colorado to bar him from the ballot in November's presidential election in the state. Mr. Trump argues that it's up to Congress, not state courts, to decide who's eligible to serve as president. Last month, Colorado's top court said he was disqualified because of his role in the Capitol riot in Washington 3 years ago. Russia and Ukraine have each exchanged over 200 prisoners of war in what's thought to be the biggest swap of the conflict so far. They were released as a result of mediation by the United Arab Emirates. It's the first prisoner swap since August last year. Kirilo Budanov is the head of Ukraine's military intelligence.
Finally, after a lot of time, we managed to conduct a very difficult exchange. Today, 230 defenders of Ukraine came back. Among them is a medic, soldiers from Azovstal, border guards, police officers, service members of the National Guard and soldiers of the armed forces.
This is Moira Alderson with the latest world news from the BBC. The former president of Sierra Leone, Ernest Bai Kuruma, has been charged with treason over an alleged coup plot. His lawyer said the charges were trumped up as part of a political vendetta. Mr. Kuruma has been under house arrest after being questioned by police. On Tuesday, a court in Freetown charged a member of his security team with treason, along with 11 other defendants. Mexico's interior minister says the remaining 26 migrants who were kidnapped close to the US border on Saturday have been rescued. On Monday, five Venezuelan migrants from the same group were freed. They'd been travelling on a bus which was stopped by armed men who ordered all foreign passengers to get off. They were bundled into vehicles that had been used to block the highway in the state of Tamaulipas. A British teenager has failed in his bid to win the Darts World Championship final. Luke Littler, who is 16 years old, was beaten 7-4 by Luke Humphreys at the tournament in London. He described his progress through the championship over the past few weeks as unbelievable. Our correspondent, Natalie Perks, was watching.
Luke Littler pretty much strolled into this final, steamrolling former champions along the way. Not this time. The 16-year-old had taken a 4-2 set lead, but Humphrey started playing some wonderful stuff. He hauled himself back into the match. He won five sets on the spin, punishing Littler's mistakes, making him look very ordinary indeed, and he fell at the final hurdle.
A man who spent nearly 24 hours in the sea off New Zealand has been rescued after using the sun's reflection from his watch to signal for help. He was on a solo fishing trip more than 50 kilometres off the coast of North Island when he fell overboard on Tuesday. He said at one stage a shark came to have a sniff at him. He was eventually rescued, cold and severely dehydrated, on Wednesday by a group of fishermen. A police spokesman said it was a miracle that he was still alive. BBC News.